Today we have Leah Harrigan, who is a talent acquisition specialist. So Leah, thank you for joining the show, and just take a few seconds to kind of explain your background.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Chris. I have about 20 years in recruiting. I've worked on the agency side, led an agency before, switched over to the corporate side. I've been in large tech. I've been in construction. I've been in airline. I've been in agriculture. It's really been a great opportunity to be able to support so many different companies. And we always have the conversation about where does corporate and where does agency fit. Even after 20 years, I see there to be a really important spot for both. And it's just about the partnership and where it makes most sense.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to getting to this conversation. And my first question is going to be, as we enter this era of AI and talent acquisition, I'm kind of curious, what are you seeing as far as where AI is improving or kind of avoiding the parts that, you know, are uncomfortable to have conversations around?
It's so interesting because is it improving in certain ways? For sure. Is it making us faster? Yeah. When you're on LinkedIn and you're trying to create the perfect search string, the Boolean searches, et cetera, the certain filters, takes a long time to get it to exactly what it is.
So how long does it take to go through profiles without the help of AI?
You could easily get lost in search strings for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then still not yield the win, because it's a two-way process and people forget that. It's not just if the company wants you, it's this person needs to want you on the other end, right?
So
where I found is all of the tools, whether it's like the LinkedIn HR assist that helps you source down the number of candidates, it does a pretty good job to get you a couple really key ones quickly without getting lost in a search string. But then it also makes it quite a bit more challenging because are those the right people? Like, yes, it's fast, it's efficient. You've got a couple great names ready to go, but it also makes it more challenging because if somebody hasn't put the keywords on their searches, an AI system's not picking it up.
When you look at the landscape, right, from an in-house perspective, one thing I'm seeing a lot of, you know, TA, CHRs, leaders in that realm is how inundated they are with just applications. Their recruiters or their internal TA teams are stretched to the max. They could have anywhere from 5 to 30 plus jobs. And then I've heard, you know, on the low end, as many as like 100 to, you know, 200, but the high end, a couple thousand. To the point where they have to shut down that application and then repost it because there's just too many. And then how many of those are qualified, not qualified? Like, for those who are like kind of navigating this as well, in your perspective, like, what do you go through, right? What is like that work through look like? Because sometimes candidates don't see what you go through or what we go through.
We've actually been posting for about a week because the volume of applicants that we're getting is excessive. And I say excessive just because quality and quantity are not going hand in hand. If anything, I'm seeing far more applications coming in. The quality of the applications aren't there, which we can talk about. And also the perception of the quality, I think, is a huge thing too. So when it comes to sheer volume, there are some really interesting tools. I don't even want to call them great. I want to call them interesting tools out there that candidates are using. You look at your items like your lazy applies, your AI apply. There's bots applying on behalf of candidates for jobs. So I'll pick up the phone to call these people. And sometimes they're like, sorry, you're calling from where? Like they don't even remember engaging with the job website, the application, reading the description, because if they've given full access, that bot's done all the work for them. And it's almost like spaghetti on the wall. At the first level, I was like, okay, you're getting a sheer volume. It's really easy to take out the ones that have no relevance, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty easy to spot.
That's easy to spot. So those ones are time consuming, but I actually don't find those to be as much of the challenge. You have somebody putting in the job description into a tool and says, hey, make my resume a perfect fit for this job. Pull any parallels that you can. And they do a good job. Like, I'm not going to lie, they do a really good job. And it really embellishes or presents the resume in a way that on the surface, like, it appears like a perfect fit. Those are the ones I'm struggling with right now.
It's funny you say that. I spoke to somebody ahead of TA, a very large public company, and they were telling me that they were in a final interview with somebody. Mm-hmm. And this is where it became more of a technical test. Everything else was like more surface level conversation, but the resume on paper looked perfect. It couldn't have been more the opposite. And he goes, what was frustrating is that we wasted all this time thinking we had somebody. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of, for me, hit me. And again, why I wanted to have this conversation with you, that's where AI came in and made this person's profile look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And they were able to still have a conversation on the surface level. But when they got to the nuts and bolts of what they do, fell extremely short. But all that time was wasted. Where are we at in this phase? Because we're still in the beginning phase of where AI is in terms of helping and where you see it hurting. Mm-hmm.
I think we're at the point of adopting it. So I believe that we have had a chance to get our hands in it, to say, hey, like, look at this. It makes us faster, more applicants. I don't think we're at the point where we're able to measure the success of it, right? So we can look at the efficiency of how fast it was to hire, how quick we got this resume, but I don't think we're down the road enough to know the metric of it. Was that cheaper because it was faster? Did the candidate fall off? What's our retention like? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, did we hire the right person, or did we hire the person fastest who was perceived to be the right person?
Is hiring becoming more data-driven or less thoughtful?
I think the numbers are what's easy to present back, right? Tell me your metrics. I posted this role. I had this many numbers of engagements. I had this many phone screens. I did this many interviews, this many offers, this many declines. It's all data-driven. And I think the piece that's missing is, what's the human element of that, right? Mm. It's easy to say, oh, this person didn't take our job because we weren't fast enough, right? It was X number of days to recruit. Where I think what we still need more of is that honest connection that you build with somebody. Someone's going to tell you, hey, it's not actually that you were 10 grand short in the salary or the offer. The real issue is that I didn't feel that connection. It didn't feel like a vibe. It didn't feel like my place. You miss all those conversations if you're focused only on metrics.
Would you say that AI is exposing weak recruiters or protecting them?
I think it protects weak recruiters because it helps you on the first layer. Like, it helps you source better. It helps you write letters and communications better. You can present yourself with metrics to say, hey, look at how great I am because of X number of outreaches, et cetera. But where I think it exposes recruiters is you become more facilitating and coordinating.
Yeah.
And that looks good if all somebody's concerned about is a dashboard, right? In that sense, you're going to look great as a weak recruiter. Where I think the good recruiters start rising to the top is by using AI to automate a lot of what we're doing, right? Get rid of the applicants that don't meet the bare minimum requirements. It allows a good recruiter the opportunity to say, okay, now I have time to step in. I'm going to be more of a consultant. Let's talk about workforce planning. Let's talk about how we're getting ahead. Instead of focusing on filling a role, it gives you the opportunity to say, hey, here's what I learned. This worked, this didn't work. Like, look at the cyclical nature of what we've done. It frees up a little bit more space to have those conversations as an advisor, right? And I think that's the difference. AI will allow maybe a weak or a new recruiter the tools to hit the ground running. Yeah. But as we start to be able to automate, I guess, my feelings, and they could always change in 6 months when AI tells us otherwise, right? But my feelings are that the ones that are going to rise to the top are still that experienced recruiter who understands the human value, the connection, the judgment, the critical thinking, right? And those are the items I just don't think you can replace with AI. Every applicant means something. If that person has read the job description, they've gotten excited. They visualize themselves at that company. They've read through it and thought, yeah, I think I can add value here. Or, you know what? I need medical and dental benefits for my family. Like, I need to support my family. So they might apply to a job that's not perfect for them, but it still was worth their time to slow down and apply. People are knowing that you've got applicant tracking systems weeding out resumes. So instead of just using one resume that fits most jobs, people are going through and tailoring the resume, which takes time. And
yes.
Because they don't want the system to pull them out because they haven't, right? Well, every day if they wake up and get a rejection, or better yet, they get nothing because recruiters just can't get through the volume of resumes, right? Or they get something that feels like such a standard decline that you know AI had written. You don't even feel seen, right? You don't know if somebody actually read your resume or if it was just an automatic knockout, right? And I think
so. How do you deal with that? What would you tell somebody who is good at what they're doing all the right things, but mm-hmm. not getting the results? What would you tell them, or hey, try this? Like, what would that look like for them?
As a recruiter, I'm reviewing all the resumes that look the exact same, right?
Yeah.
So my recommendation for people is, don't be afraid to show a little bit of personality. Immediately, the person on the other end is going to say, hey, this looks a bit different. I kind of like this. There's one person who I speak so fondly of. We actually became friends out of a recruitment process, not unlike yourself and I. And on his resume, he wrote interest and he wrote running, but not more than 10K. And I had to laugh. Like, it slowed us down. And
like, why 10K?
Like, why 10K? But what it did was it added an element of intrigue. It added something that stopped our brain because it was different, right? It was somebody who obviously has goals in mind, but pretty specific goals. Like, we could read into that as much as we wanted. But that was something that I actually quite enjoyed, because I thought, you didn't have a computer write that for you, because no computer is going to come up with the fact to say you only run 10K. When people show what they did to earn the company money, save the company money, increase customer service scores, put that in what you did. Right. So in these resumes, it's easy for anybody to have a line, use metrics to increase sales. Great. Any AI could write that. Right.
So true.
What was your specific achievement? I even tell people, write an achievement column and write like, this is exactly how you did it, because it feels more believable when you have a story to tell with it. It feels like you can almost identify with the candidate because they're giving something specific. I now feel like I'm there with you. I now know you've done it because you've told me how you did it, not just that you did it. We're doing too much that we're hiding behind emails, templates, automation, where the only way we can really figure out if you've done it and if you're that human is by talking to them. And I think it's challenging if we just rely on automation, make it faster, make it quicker, et cetera. Because at the end of the day, if somebody has two offers, I need them to pick us and I need them to know what they're picking so they work out in the long run. And I think that's the part that we need to keep doing, is you're not going to understand the person based on what's written.
Where does LinkedIn resume kind of come in? Like, which has one become more important than the other? We know they're both needed, mm-hmm. but in terms of emphasis and like, where does internal teams stand with how they're, you know, mm-hmm. LinkedIn is the, because you can get so much more from LinkedIn than a resume at times, right? So I'm curious kind of your thoughts there.
Yeah.
On that shift.
I think LinkedIn's critical, and I'll give you an example of why. So the resume, I think, is your foot in the door. That's potentially what people are going to see first if they're reviewing the resumes. I was hiring for a talent acquisition specialist internally on our team. I get beautiful resume that comes in. Very tailored, seasonal hiring, operational, high volume, understand cyclical nature that relates to the business I recruit for. It looked really good. So good that I thought, great, I'm going to now go to LinkedIn. I go to LinkedIn Validate. You can't lie on LinkedIn, right? So if you change your job title on LinkedIn to say you're a talent acquisition specialist, and in this situation, the individual ran a retail store, right? Was a manager at a retail store. That's a great job. But what it showed me was on the application for a talent acquisition specialist, you overly tailored what components of that job you did to meet my requirement, to the point where it was masked as if that person was a full-time recruiter doing this position. And this was just a really great example to show anybody's resume can look exactly like my job description. It caught my eye though, so kudos to that individual because it slowed me down.
How has AI affected the communication between the employer and the candidate?
I think you've lost a lot of the authenticity. When somebody's getting an email, the first thing you do is look for MDashes. Like, was this something that you tailored towards me? Does it look like you automatically pulled hello individual at this company? Like, it doesn't feel as authentic, right? So
yeah.
I think it's impacted the communication from that side. It's easy to message a lot of people, right? So then if you've messaged a large group of people at once, what's your return rate like? Like I'm looking for a job, right, in that situation, and I don't want to wait 72 hours because you would email 100 candidates, right? It just doesn't, the timeliness of it sometimes gets lost.
Would you say the competitive aspect of this market is more on how you present yourself than your capabilities? For example, we've talked about examples where somebody does a great job, but they can't meet the job. They got into the conversation. Is that where the competition is right now, is to get into that conversation?
I think it's to get first into the conversation, because you need to stick out to get selected, right? So I think that's the competition, is sticking out from the crowd and getting your resume to actually gain you the phone screen or the interview. I think the competition as well is everybody comes in looking really good because their resume fits the job description. So where in the past, you're only competing against people who have actually done the job. Yep. Because you would have to know how to articulate it on a resume to get
the call. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
So now you're competing against people who on paper appear to have done the job.
Because you could type in a prompt on tailored to this. And to your point, back then, if you didn't know the job, you didn't know how to use the words. That's really, interesting.
So I think now you're in competition to actually justify you've done it, right? What we're also finding in the, from the recruitment side of it on the back end from corporate, is when we have a candidate and we are about to put out an offer to a candidate, the offer process I find is sometimes coming with extra steps than we would anticipate. Before, with our initial pre-screens and calls that we had, we would know the candidate's salary expectations, what they're looking for total comp. And typically you'd go ahead, you'd put out an offer, and usually the recruiter's pretty on target and the candidate accepts fairly quickly. What I'm finding nowadays is there's more negotiations that are coming in and being asked for. Candidates who would typically not feel comfortable negotiating an offer, they fear they would lose the opportunity if they came back and counteroffered, asked for more money, asked for benefits to start sooner. I find now that they're using AI, it's giving
a little more
confidence, right? Like there's more confidence. And I have to say, from the recruitment standpoint, I thought, I didn't know you knew to ask for that. And they're coming back with some pretty strong requests at times. I do find it something that I've been educating my hiring leaders, like, hey, if this comes up in the end, like, where are we going, right?
Yeah.
It just seems to be something that people are gaining confidence with.
It's almost like the technology's got so superior, but I feel like at times we've gotten a little bit lazier. And when it comes to alignment within the talent acquisition space of what talent needs to look like, what is that process, I still see it where it's very dysfunctional. And at times, with how much tech we have running through the business, it's like it's been worse since injecting the tech.
People who are new to the industry, they have like a whole gamut of tools that we didn't have when we had started, which is fantastic, right? It can make them faster, more efficient. It can help upgrade them in certain areas. But I think we have to still stay focused on what are those pieces that we know, because we've done this for a long time, that a technology can't just fill the gap.
There's that human element, right? But also there's patterns too with jobs people take, right? I'm curious your thoughts on that as far as what's something AI can't see.
I don't think AI can replace influence, right? So
what do you mean?
So what I'm thinking is, if you're working with a candidate, you see a resume, I'll know, okay, that one might be a tricky one for us. They're coming from a great company. They've got good longevity in their company. AI might say, this isn't going to fit your requirements for XYZ, right? Like screen this person out, or this person might have had this many short-term jobs, et cetera. They might just skip that person. I know that recruiters are compelling. I know that despite whether we like to admit it or not, we're all salespeople. We're just selling sweat.
So true.
Right, we're selling to the candidate, we're selling to the hiring leader, whether it's corporate, whether it's agency, like it's all a double sale. So I think the level of influence that can go on behind the scenes, AI is not going to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
I think when you think of the human connection, the building trust. I'm going to build trust in the recruitment process with candidates. If I make them feel safe and I really make them feel heard, I can understand their real motives. And I think from a recruitment standpoint, when you're building that connection with somebody, you're authentic. You can come off as trusted. You can listen to them. You can make people feel heard. That human connection, I don't think you can ever replace with AI. And I think the risk that you run is if you assume that you can.
So you kind of answered this then. The part of recruiting that will become more valuable than ever is that authenticity, that connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
What part of recruiting do you think will disappear over time?
I think some of the resume review, the sourcing, I think some of those could go away. I think some of the repetitive tasks, right? That stuff can be automated. You have the same job posting. It can quickly get posted, get shared where it needs to, without maybe as much manual process involved in it. Some of what I'm seeing now is people's frustrations of, I'm never getting a call back. I've applied online. I'm not hearing anything.
I hear that all the time.
I get more walk-ins to our corporate office now than we've ever had. Seriously? When we're showing up at career fairs, right?
Yeah.
Career fairs were kind of dead for a while, in my opinion. Career fairs are back because people are like craving that ability to make a connection and say, hey, like, I look like everyone else on paper, but here's what I'm reliable. I've showed up today. I'm interested. Please hire me. I can start right away. Like, more the networking events I've gone to are full, right? And the intent of the people showing up, it's to make connection.
I want you to put yourself in both the organization who hires, and then I want you to put yourself in the professional who's trying to differentiate themselves and trying to get into a conversation. With the employer, what's one thing that you're seeing that you would advise employers to really take a step back and think about in order to improve their ability to recruit and capture talent?
I think the one thing I would encourage people to step back on is don't put all of the emphasis on speed. AI is making us faster to hire. That is hands down, right? You can run faster. You can review the top 10 resumes, probably hire one of them, and you can run, right? And what I would advise people to do is don't assume that's the only metric of success, right? Slow down, look at the quality of the hire. The other item I would look at from a candidate's perspective is show that you're human. Like, almost do what the resumes have told you not to do before. I'm not saying put pictures on and things like that, but show something in your resume that shows who you are and something that shows clear intent. Like, you really were intentional in your application for this role.
I appreciate you taking time to speak with me on this. I think it's something that a lot of people have been obviously talking about on LinkedIn, and I hear it in my job. I know you do. And, you know, to be able to share your insights is very much appreciated. So I appreciate you taking time to do this, now this conversation.
Happy to have it. And I'm sure that we'll have to have it again in 6 more months as things change and we're trying to keep up to where things are at. And
yeah.
And thanks for letting me join you.